Hey, Internet. Hey, have you noticed the Internet is really sexy tonight?
Well, you haven't seen it in 2 weeks, so.
That's right. I haven't seen the Internet at all.
So what's going on? It feels like it's been forever.
It's been, yeah. Well, that whole Thanksgiving thing, right?
Yeah.
I think I'm coming down with, I think I have mono.
What? I have a cold.
I'm like tired all the time, and I don't know why.
No, I know why.
That's what I'm telling everyone. I think I have mono.
That's not mono. That's
you have baby.
Yeah, that's baby.
Is it the chunky little baby that's asleep upstairs?
Yes. Yes, it is. Now you know why.
Is she chunky now?
She's getting chunky, yeah.
Oh, good.
Gonna send her to fat camp. Oh yeah, she's got the whole Michelin Man legs thing going on.
Oh, nice.
And a severe double chin.
Nice. Good.
Chubby babies.
So yeah, baby time. Yeah. By the way, I got that squirrel onesie. I gotta get her in at some point soon.
Yeah, we need a picture.
I'm pretty sure it'll fit well.
Good.
Oh, good. So she has gained weight.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent.
Cool.
Yep. She's gained weight and size. That's hilarious. I was looking at some old pictures the other day, and that baby used to be tiny.
that happens.
Everybody's asking, is the show on?
Yeah, it's on.
Can we hear it? Hello? Can everyone hear us?
I can hear it.
Hello, Tokyo!
Okay.
Hang on. I can tell you real quick
here. Here we are. Yo! Okay. Yes, we're here. Okay, everybody's up.
Oh, that was me.
Excellent. Here we are.
Yep.
Ah.
I can do an echo.
Jesus, God, who's that?
What?
I heard myself. Yeah. I heard my own voice. I had a house guest for Thanksgiving.
Yes, you did.
Which always like inspires great panic because
including
I never
toilets?
No. Oh my God. I must have bleached the shower every day for a week before he showed up. Well, you know, our house guest is this famous blogger on the internet.
He's famous on the internet.
He's famous on the internet. New Jovian Thunderbolt. Ooh, he has this very, you know, excellent blog, and he came and he visited us. He came on Wednesday and left on Sunday, and of course, like for the entire week prior, I was bleaching everything in sight because, you know, everything had to be perfect. I went out and I bought new futon, I bought new hand towels, I bought flannel sheets so he'd be
warm.
Like,
is it a whole new piece of furniture or just the new mattress for the futon?
The new mattress, but okay, like, you know.
So you'd have to sleep on the lumpy futon.
Right. Or, you know, in the cat.
Though I got to say, a futon is infinitely better than a fucking convertible couch.
Ugh. Yeah, this futon's pretty good.
I had in my first apartment, it was my parents had a convertible couch, and they redid the room it was in, so it didn't match anymore. And I was, at that point in time, I was unemployed to thank the 9/11 crash. But shortly thereafter, I had an apartment and moved that thing in there, and oh, they're just so heavy and so fucking worthless. I've declared that I will never own a convertible couch ever again in my life.
Well, this futon is really good, and
we've got a futon.
I have tested it out. It's very sleepable.
I've slept on this one as well.
But Thanksgiving was a complete success because my mother has instructed me to never change the recipe for the turkey ever.
Perfect turkey, huh?
It was the perfect, most delicious turkey ever.
What'd you do?
Have you ever heard of the website called Pioneer Woman?
Yep.
She has, you know, a cooking blog.
As a matter of fact, I was watching her show during the Thanksgiving break.
Well, I used her turkey brine.
Oh, cool.
And I brined it overnight, and then I smoked the turkey over apple wood and pecan wood. And
pecan wood.
That sounds dirty.
Intentionally, because I'm a filthy, filthy person.
Well, it was delicious. It was really wonderful.
Just don't say pecan.
Pecan wood. Pecan. Pecan.
Pecan.
It was really good. So, and everybody had a good time. And, you know, I was kind of like the cruise director, and I made Mike and Tebow go to a museum on Friday because I had to work. And then we went out to the brewery afterwards. And then Saturday I took Tebow to Amish country, which is always, you know, the height of excitement in Ohio.
It is.
Did you get your bag limit?
Yeah. Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, did you guys, speaking of Amish, did you hear that story about, I blogged about it, of the fucking dipshits that, like, drove past the Amish buggy and shot their horse?
Oh, yeah, I did read about that. That was in Lancaster County in Pennsylvania, yeah. And they drove, it was like an Amish drive-by. What the hell?
Yeah, I mean, someone on my blog said, and I think that's like the Occam's razor right there, is I'm like, who the fuck would do this? Is this some gangbangers trying to get an easy kill? And they said, probably someone stuck behind the buggy and just getting pissed off, and it's yeah, just essentially Amish road rage.
Well, it's not an uncommon thing for people to kind of victimize the Amish, and it's really interesting because I read an article. They said, well, Amish are easy victims because they're all pacifists and they can't fight back. And I said, well then, there you go.
I respect them for their devotion, but I do too. I will write to their face, say they're wrong.
Yes, I will.
I know a gentleman who's a devout Buddhist, and he's the strong pacifist, and I've and he is an actual legitimate you know pacifist. Where I said to him, what would you do if I went over and started raping your wife in front of you? And he said, technically speaking, I'm not supposed to do anything. I'm not supposed to intervene. But he's honest. He said, I don't know if I could do that, but that's the goal you strive for. And I said, well, I appreciate your devotion to your faith, but that is completely wrong and horrible.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I'm nonviolent, but I am very anti-pacifist. I do not want to lay a hand on another human being. I see no need for it. And overall, I think that is a very, very, there's a very, very limited scope where that's okay. But let me tell you, you cross into that limited scope, I'm going to kill your ass.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Especially if you get near my fucking baby.
Oh, no. Papa Bear.
Uh-oh.
That's right.
Hey.
Today is Wednesday, July 75th, 2035.
It is Thursday, December 5th, 2013. One of the last episodes. We got like two more episodes this year, maybe. Maybe. This is episode number 83.
Wow.
And then Trixie Decaphobes will feel a whole lot better. I was wondering about that. Here's an impromptu call in. If you are or know a Triskaidekaphobe, tell me how the fuck you deal with this year.
Well, it's not 13, it's 2013.
Well, it's still, you know, apostrophe 13.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And all of that. I mean, I think that's enough it's one of those, like, I've got a little vague amount of it only because people who sail are often particularly superstitious people, and so I started just respecting their superstitions, not to rock the boat, pun intended. But and then kind of later started picking up a little bit where, like, other people would do things that was non-kosher for various superstitions, and I'd go, oh, don't do that, that's not right.
Should I take MDev's call now?
Already?
Yeah. Oh, he's been like the 2 seconds after we went on the air, he called in.
Wow. Okay.
No calls before the music, damn it.
Calls in on the stream.
Yeah.
Wants to talk to the recording.
Hey there, MDev.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, MDev.
We're okay.
Well, I have to call in because I'm almost home and this is my commute time.
Oh, I see.
Don't make fun of me for calling in early.
Oh, so we're a diversion at best for you, huh?
And we will absolutely make fun of you. Low-hanging fruit will be picked.
No. See, I think of it as entirely different. I'm going to break state cell phone laws to be on the court. My devotion is unending.
Scoff law.
That's right. You show the man.
You
fuck the police.
It sounds like...
Did you? You're the one who's like listened to all the Vicious Circles, right?
I have listened to all Vicious Circle episodes a minimum of twice. Yes.
Oh
God.
Oh my God. Okay.
I didn't even listen to
all the Vicious Circles and some of them twice.
Really? I have blocked them from my memory.
I will say there are certain episodes that I like. When I listen to them, there are certain episodes that I was like, oh, this one actually had content. It was at the beginning, you know, the first couple of episodes. I'm not interested.
I don't care.
Stingray doesn't share any porn in this one. I'm not interested. You know, so there's listening, and then there's actually paying attention. But it's funny that you mentioned VC, because my answer to the call-in topic actually came from VC.
Oh, interesting. Oh, wait, let's just say the call-in topic. Because let me just preface the call-in topic. The call-in topic tonight is, what television show are you wild about but nobody else has ever heard of? And you're kind of like this proselytizer for this television show. Like, you're trying to get all your friends to watch it. This past weekend, I got T-Bolt to watch Middleman, which is one of the most wonderful one season shows. Everybody go and look. It's not on Netflix. You have to buy the DVD. Sorry. Yeah. Or go to the library. I don't know. Maybe they have it.
Probably not.
Middleman.
Or hit that Pirate Bay site.
Or steal it from the internet. You know, it's wonderful. And it is on YouTube. So anyway, so go ahead, MDev. What's your show?
So the first episode that I am the biggest, or the first show that I'm the biggest preacher of, which I was turned on to by Lab Rat on VC, is Warehouse 13.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
I know. I think most of you or all of you have seen it, but I am now the biggest advocate of everybody needs to watch Warehouse 13. I got my wife into it. You know, we've now watched them all, and it's just spectacular. The second one, more recently, is Flashpoint, because Canadian SWAT teams are hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
So, those are my two. I know that they're not particularly niche-y, and neither one of them are one-season shows or anything like that, but those are the two that, you know, if you can't enjoy at least one of those two, we may have issues.
Okay.
Okay, then.
Right. Well, so you should try Middleman.
That's my answer. That's my answer to the call-in topic. I do have to share a quick two-second story. There was a guy in work today ranting and raving about how the reason everything is so expensive is because we overfish lobster. And
what?
I was like, I need weird immediately.
So wait a minute. The reason everything is so expensive is because we overfish lobster.
Well, the reason seafood in particular is because we overfish lobster. And I'm like, I think weird would argue.
Okay, so actually, you know, since, you know, I did go to marine biology school in Maine, which, you know,
if you have any bit of
bullshit memorabilia from Maine, if you ever went on a vacation there, it probably involves some sort of tacky lobster of some sort. Lobster is pretty much like the big cash fish. I mean, the common American lobster that you're going to think is most frequently called the Maine lobster, yada, 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 yada. But, so now, the freaky deaky environmentalist Luddites are always wanting to say lobsters are overfished, they're seconds away from being, you know, from the completely collapse, because every year more lobster gets pulled out of the waters of Maine and New England. And so they're going, well, this can't go on forever. And the short answer is no, it can't go on forever, but it's not the lobsters that are being overfished. And there was actually a really great thesis written by one of my professors that essentially declared lobsters to be a free-range aquaculture species. So pretty much we have these things called lobster traps. You can look up pictures of them on Wikipedia and whatnot, but they're designed to trap lobsters, and they don't. That's one of the big things. They sent cameras down and watched lobster traps as they were fishing, and pretty much lobsters go in and they like them because it's a nice place to hide, but the funnel-shaped nets inside them that are designed to make it so they can easily climb in but not easily climb out, they don't work as advertised. Lobsters can climb out of them just as easily as possible. And so the idea is the lobsters come in and hide, and the lobstermen that catch the lobsters are simply the guys that happen to – those are the lobsters that happen to be hiding inside the traps at the time that they're pulled up.
Huh.
Yeah, it's really cool.
So
the reason why it's a free-range aquaculture is these traps have bait in them, and the bait's generally herring in Maine at least. And so the lobsters climb into the traps, they eat the herring, and then if they feel like leaving, they climb on out and walk away. And that allows the lobster population to get very, very strong and robust. Also, lobsters are cannibalistic, and so if lobsters are hungry and they see another lobster, they'll eat them. But if a lobster is not hungry and they encounter another lobster, they will leave them the hell alone. So the idea is we're putting food into the water. The lobsters are getting full on easy-to-eat food instead of food that can possibly kill them, because when two lobsters get into a fight, one of them's going to get fucked up and the other one's going to get eaten. And so, essentially, we get more and more lobsters coming out of the water because the more food we put in, the more lobsters we can create, and therefore, more of that.
Yay!
Now, the original caveat is that will the herring forever be able to sustain this? And on a theoretical long end of it, no. But, of course, also, supply and demand and all of that, it'll probably just end up to people, if we end up having a shortage of herring, we'll just have less lobsters getting caught, and the lobster population will continue to go on and be robust. It's nothing to be worried about. Eat those fucking things. They're cockroaches of the ocean.
I was just going to say that.
This is why I need weird in my pocket.
That would be weird.
And I will let you guys go on that note.
Thanks, MDev.
Is that a weird in your pocket? He's just glad to see us.
I think MDev is going to probably play this for his coworker.
He might.
Yeah.
Lobsters are the cockroaches of the ocean. That's pretty much what they do. That's their job function, is just like a cockroach. They crawl around on the bottom and eat shit. I mean, that's
like all shellfish, really, though.
Yeah,
right?
Pretty much, yep. And shrimps and lobsters and whatnot.
Delicious shrimps.
Which makes me say that the giant cockroaches probably taste pretty good.
Well,
if you were going to eat them. They are related.
Yeah, bugs. Distantly, but yes. I'll allow that.
We have more calls.
Wow. Okay.
I'm not sure who this is. Area code 843. Hello.
Hi, this is Ben.
Oh, hi, Ben.
Hi, Ben.
One show that I watch, I think nobody's heard of, it's like had 13 episodes. It's a Hulu produced show called Endgame.
I've never heard of
it. The basic premise of the show is this chess master is at this hotel with his wife and sees her get attacked and killed out on the street. And after that, he becomes agoraphobic and basically can't leave the hotel.
Oh.
And so it gets to the point where he starts running out of money and the hotel's trying to evict him. So he basically starts solving cases in his hotel room to get the money to continue staying there.
Huh.
And he never leaves the room.
Never leaves the room. He has certain people to basically run his errands for him and that type of stuff.
Please tell me.
It's pretty interesting for a low budget series, you know. The other one is a series called Murdoch from the Canadian
TV. I love Murdoch.
Yeah.
Are you talking about Murdoch Mysteries, the one set in the 1900s? I love that show. I love it. Yes. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Turn of the century police detective in Canada who uses cutting-edge scientific techniques to solve cases.
I love that show.
Yep. That's a good one.
I think the first four seasons or so are on Netflix, and I think they're up to season six now.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my two big ones that I try to proselytize that people really haven't heard of.
Those are
I got my mom started on that show, and I think I got you started on that show, Alan, right?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, it's a wonderful show, and it's the characters are so good. And, you know, usually with police dramas, it's like after a few seasons, you're like, oh, okay, you know. But there's always something kind of fun and new. And really, in Murdoch Mysteries, there's this lightheartedness also that goes on that keeps you kind of, like, entertained. It's not always so dark and terrible and serious, you know. There's this lightheartedness part in it. I don't know. Maybe it's because
I love
it's
the historical figures they throw in there too.
Yes, I know. Me too. Where Winston Churchill shows up, and it's wonderful. It's a wonderful show.
Arthur Conan Doyle and Tesla and
It's really good. Have you seen Ben? Have you seen the episode? And it was only released as little mini episodes online, but it's a show where I think it's like a half hour worth of YouTube videos or something, but where Murdoch gets hit in the head and he's transported to modern day Toronto. Have you seen that one?
No, I'm gonna have to look that up.
I will
check that out on YouTube.
Yes, I will send you the link. It's wonderful. So yeah, Murdoch Mysteries. I'm a big fan. I'm with you there.
Yep, those are both good.
All right, I'll let somebody else talk.
Thanks for
y'all have a good one.
You too.
Yay, good.
Wow, yeah, I love Murdoch. That's one of my favorite shows.
I know.
That's
you have anything
one.
Else, sending, Alan? That's a lesser known show.
I don't know about lesser known. I've gotten a lot of people to watch Doctor Who that didn't think they'd like it. Including Brita.
I know. Yeah.
And I think I got I was one of the ones instrumental in getting Jennifer. I don't think she listens to the show, but anyway. I've gotten several people watching Doctor Who. I guess
it's a good show,
but it's not like nobody's ever heard of it. So, you know, I don't know. It's a lot of people dismiss it because they may have heard about it or something like that.
I know why
and they think it's some weird British show and they're like, oh yes. No, I don't like
that. That was
those.
My reason.
And frankly, the early ones really weren't that great. I know a lot of people loved them, but that's why
I never really got into it. Cause I watched the first couple of episodes and went, you know what?
Yeah.
There's a lot of other stuff to watch.
And, you know, you really couldn't see it in the U.S. unless you were, you know, it was like on PBS during a pledge drive or something. And, you know, it was, ugh. But anyway, since they did the reboot, it's actually really, really good.
I didn't want to watch it because I assumed it would be like Monty Python, old British guy show. Yeah. Which
absolutely not like that.
Not a fan of the ugly old British guy show. But yep. No, I like the new Doctor Who. Thanks for introducing me to it.
You're welcome.
One of my ones that I absolutely am in love with, and I'm so pissed off that I haven't looked at it recently to see if Netflix has added more to it, because there's evidently like a gazillion seasons of it over in Japan, but only the first season is available in the United States, at least through regular channels. I haven't really dug too deep into the Pirate Bays, and they're on YouTube as well, but I don't like watching shows on YouTube. But is Golgo 13, which is it's one of the longest running comic book series in Japan, and there was a bunch of movies made. There was a live action one with Sonny Chiba for all you Sonny Chiba fans. Love me some Sonny Chiba. And there was a couple of animated movies, but the comics themselves, that they're in those big Japanese phone book style mangas where it's only, you know, 10 or 15 pages per story, and then it goes on to the next serial within the magazine. So the original stories are all very, very, very short, and that translates beautifully into a 20-minute TV show. And it's really dark and gritty, and just covers a whole lot of taboos. And I really, really, really love it. And probably only Roadkill has watched it.
I have never even heard of it before.
Yeah, I never have either.
Yeah, go give it a look, especially if you like assassin stuff, because I got a wicked soft spot for anything.
I tell you one, I'll take this moment, because we got another couple of callers, but I want to run my mouth a minute. If we're talking anime, one of the classic best animes ever, in my opinion, is Cowboy Bebop, which was like a one season thing, and they did kind of a movie thing. And
I think they did a couple series, but
it was just one.
There's a lot of books I know that we have in the library.
Yeah, but the Cowboy Bebop is one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's not bad.
That's the bounty hunters.
Especially like the fact that they always score these really, really big bounties in every episode, but they end up breaking so much shit.
Yeah, they shoot up
stuff that they don't make any money. They're always starving.
They ruin so much crap. They use all their bounty money paying off everybody that shit they blow up.
What's nice is they're usually starving and they don't have any food, but they've always got plenty of cigarettes.
Yeah,
and bullets. Being someone who is unemployed for a long period of time, I didn't have a whole lot of food and didn't have a whole lot of spending money, but I did have cigarettes.
Yeah, they always have cigarettes and bullets. No, they never run out of that.
There was a movie that came out that was really, really good, because I mean it's like any other, like, you know, animated TV show that gets made into a movie. It's just always cool to see when suddenly they've got like enough money to really, really dump like a lot of quality, and the animation's fantastic in it, but when you go like to the movie, the animation is spectacular.
Oh yeah, it's really good. The only other anime that I saw that I really cared for was that Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya.
You just made that up.
No, that was one that Lab Rat and Stingray both.
I can't watch anime for some reason. I can't get into it.
Of course, then there's the old stuff from the when I was a kid, Speed Racer, which was like the first anime anybody saw in the U.S.
I would probably say I bet Tetsuan Atom, aka Astro Boy, probably might have been a little bit earlier.
You think?
Osamu Tezuka is pretty much the father of modern day anime.
Well, I mean, seeing it in the U.S.
Yeah.
Because we were watching, when I was like in 73, 74, we were watching Speed Racer.
I wasn't alive then.
Yeah, well, anyway. Hey, let's take some calls. I think this is your buddy, the gun enthusiast.
I like that
Reading
guy.
Human?
Yeah.
Okay, so my favorite show that nobody's ever seen is this really weird show called The Booth at the End. Have you guys ever heard of this at all?
Never heard
of
it. No. Okay, what the premise is, it takes place in this diner, and it's usually at nighttime in this diner. And there's this guy sitting at the booth at the end. He's either eating his dinner or he's drinking coffee. And people will come in and sit down in the booth with him. And he can get them whatever they want.
Oh.
Okay? And the whole premise of the show is, what would you do to get what you want? And it is so creepy.
Sounds like a Deal with the Devil kind of show.
Yeah, you know, you wonder if it's that. But the thing is you start watching this show, and all of these people that come in here, downstream, somehow, the plots cross each other's paths.
Ooh.
You know? Like, this guy comes in, and he says, I want to have a date with this supermodel. And the guy just tells him, okay, I can do that. And in order to do that, what you have to do is you need to protect this little girl's life. And the guy says, that's it? And he says, oh, but you have to make sure. You have to ensure that this girl is protected full time. Well, it turns out that this guy ends up having to quit his job and do all this stuff. He becomes the gardener for this family and all this kind of crap. And then later on, I don't even think it's the same episode, he tells another guy, oh, if you want this, you have to kidnap and murder this one particular little girl.
Ooh.
Yeah, and all this other stuff. He tells this little Japanese woman that she's got to build a bomb to plant somewhere and kill all these people. And all of these threads intertwine. And you wonder, is this guy Satan? Or wait, is he manipulating the universe for good? Because, you know, that's the kind of the implication for it. And the weird thing about it is it's very engaging and very kind of creepy and kind of sci-fi. And the whole damn thing takes place in the booth at the end. The whole show just takes place in the diner. And there's only like 10 episodes so far of the thing. But it's really good. It's not a huge investment to watch it. Just give it a shot. It's called The Booth at the End. I'll put a link in the chat.
Is it on Netflix or?
I actually watched it on Hulu. It was a free option on Hulu. But now I understand that you can watch it in several places, and I think it even has its own website. Because now they're going to do a third season.
Ooh.
Well, if you call 5 episodes a season. But I really liked the show, and I like wanted so much more because the episodes are not long, and there's only like 10 of them that you can watch. But that's the show that I, you know, proselytize about if you are into watching shows, you know, while you're on the train with your iPad or whatever. Give that one a shot. It's really good.
Cool.
Okay. Sounds good.
And I'm going to try Middleman. I'm taking notes.
All the other ones you guys have mentioned,
I've seen already.
Yeah, try Middleman. It's awesome.
Middleman, you'll love.
Yep.
Wait, have you seen Gargoyle 13?
People need to watch this shit. Brita, you have a homework assignment. You need to watch at least the first episode.
Okay, I will watch the first episode.
Of what?
Gargoyle 13.
Gargoyle. G-O-G-O-L, right?
G-O-L.
G-O-L. Okay.
Yeah, named after Golgotha.
Okay.
The hill that Jesus was crucified on. Come on.
I know that one.
I'm Catholic.
I saw Dogma.
Yeah, that the shit monster. Exactly. Named after the exact same thing.
Another good one is Wonder Falls. If anybody has
seen that one. Wonder Falls is awesome.
Wonder Falls is wonderful. And it's also one of those ones where it's like just one season. And they didn't show the entire season on TV, and it just kind of got, I don't know why, but Wonder Falls was hilarious and just fun. I recommend it to everyone. I actually loved Wonder Falls so much, I made our library buy it, because I didn't have, I think it's on YouTube right now, but I made the library buy it so I wouldn't have to. So I could check it out at the library whenever I want.
Yeah, Wonder Falls is one of those little. It's the one. It is the quintessential show that nobody watched. That is just fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I'll have to check that out too.
Yep.
At Wonder Falls, I think you'll love Wonder Falls.
Yeah, there's actually another one season wonder that's on BBC America. It's called Outcasts. I don't know if it's famous enough or whatever. While I was off work for a few weeks, I was watching Orphan Black, and on the same website, it had Outcasts. So it's like, what the hell is this? It's a sci-fi show. You know, it's all about a colony on another planet. But it's only one season, and it was pretty good. I can't believe it got canceled.
Well, anything that gets pretty good is often canceled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the problem is that shows we think are pretty good usually don't draw enough of an audience to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not Ow, My Balls, right? So.
Ow, My Balls. God. That's so true.
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, and somebody in the chat said...
All right, guys, I'll let somebody else get on.
All right, bye.
Thanks for calling in.
Somebody in the chat said UFO, and I have a shameful secret. Well, it's my dirty little secret. I own the entire box set of UFO, every season.
Was that a... like a documentary series?
No, it was 68, 69. It was a Gerry Anderson spectacular. And it was not a Gerry Anderson puppet show. It's a live action. But the really cool thing is it was filmed. It's like, it was filmed in like the, I don't know, the 68, 69, something like that. But it takes place in the far future, 1980.
Oh no. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It's hilarious. it's kind of one of those so bad it's good shows. But yeah, anyway. Let's take another call.
Wow.
It's Bradley.
Yes, it is.
Hi, Bradley.
Excuse me. How are you guys doing?
Sorry to bore you.
Yeah, I'm the one that should be yawning. I've been
deep in the past week, so.
Oh. Are you calling to give me a hard time about the cranberry sauce, or?
I'm not going to complain that you cooked the wrong cranberry sauce or that you picked pecan wrong or anything like that. No. I actually called in on topic.
Ooh. Oh, good. Okay.
Because I spent entirely too long in Germany, and I don't speak German, so I watch British TV. So I got hooked on Skins and Hotel Babylon and The Tudors.
Oh, The Tudors. Is it?
Yes. Short, fun, British, and amazing.
Yeah, my wife loves that one.
That's like about Henry VIII and, right?
Right. He seasons one of his wives. So you can kind of break down what year and what... by who he's married to. It's really well written and well acted.
Okay.
And just so Alan doesn't feel bad, not only do I have the entire UFO every season, I have every season of Space 1999.
Oh, I never liked Space 1999. I thought the intro was kind of catchy, but the whole, it was too Euro trash for me. I didn't care for it.
It was girls in space with purple hair.
No, that was UFO. Space 1999. No, Space 1999 was the one where the moon, they blew up the moon, and it, or they blew up a dump on the moon, and it like made it like the Earth lost the moon,
right,
and the moon goes off in space or something. And, yeah, it was just too Euro trash for me.
Okay. Well,
and that's saying a lot.
Yeah.
Later.
Anyway. Hey, thanks for calling, Bradley.
Did he hang up?
Yeah, he hung up. And that number, call in, 214-530-0036. We actually have some other things to talk about besides TV shows, but apparently the TV show thing is very popular.
Well?
TV shows and food. I think we're talking about the wrong things.
Hmm.
One thing I thought was hilarious was Ohio. They did a survey. Actually, there's a company that takes, you know, every time you call into customer service somewhere, they record the call, right? So there's a company that takes all these calls from, you know, all these hundreds of thousands of calls to all these big companies on their customer service line, and they do like keyword analysis and all that kind of stuff. And one of the studies they did was, you know, cuss words, and they, you know, because they know the number you're calling from, they know what state you're in. And so they did a status thing of the states that are the most, that swear the most, and people that swear the least. And Ohio, Brita, number one cussinest state in the nation.
Does that surprise you?
No, it doesn't surprise me at all. You know why? Probably because it's all the feckin' Irish in there.
We don't have that much Irish in it. Well, maybe we do.
Yeah, you do.
No, we don't. We don't have as much Irish in Ohio than like in Massachusetts.
Massachusetts does have a whole lot of fucking Irish.
Yeah, they do.
Well, for whatever reason, Ohio is like the cussing leader by far.
I
would say it's because of all the fucking unions in Ohio.
That could be. Could be it. Or the fucking Democrats.
The Democrats and the weather, and
yeah,
we all hate each other. Well, it's like Ohio is the big swing state. And it's always like there's always this kind of, especially around election time, there's always kind of like this tension in the air. Everybody hates each other. And everybody, it's not even like everybody hates each other. Everybody looks at each other suspiciously, and you don't trust anybody. And how are they voting? And blah, blah, blah. And it's like, it's a very, you know, we're wound up in Ohio.
I blame the snow.
And you have the snow on top of it. It's terrible. Yeah, it's Ohio is a it's a challenge to live in Ohio.
And I laughed because the I think the second least swearingest state was Texas, which didn't really.
It doesn't surprise me. I swear like four times as much as you do.
Yeah,
at least.
You gotta. There's.
No, seriously.
Here's the thing. It's like the difference between public and private, right? Because
okay,
you know, people in the South are polite to strangers, you know.
Uh huh.
But you know, I guarantee you, when you're at home or in your house, there's a lot of cussing. So I'm not so sure this study is, you know, entirely accurate. I think it's more of a study of who's the swearingest to strangers, that people they don't know.
Oh, well, I just called a complete stranger a fucking bitch in the parking lot the other day to her face. So, so there you go.
All right, then. Ohio,
well,
number one. You're number one. You're number one.
I know. You know what? And also, we will take whatever we can get to be number one. We're proud of it.
That's right.
Yay, Ohio. Yeah.
So anyway, if you want to call in and talk about that or any other of our lovely show topics tonight, that number is 214-530-0036.
And I want everybody to know that, you know, if you're curious about the topics every week, there is a blog post every week as to what is the topic going to be this week. I get a lot of questions. What are you talking about this week? What is going on? So, Alan, sometimes I write the post,
yep.
But Alan usually writes the post because I'm lazy. There is a blog post,
yep,
at squirrelreport.com.
And we take suggestions too.
Yeah, that'd be great. If you want something and want us to talk about something, go right ahead and tell us what to talk about.
We will ignore you if we want to. But
yeah,
sometimes we go, hey, that's a great idea. The other thing that was interesting, and I'm of two minds of this, was this whole Super Bowl banning the ad from Daniel Defense.
Yeah.
You know, on the one hand, I'm like, you know, Daniel Defense should have known up front that there's no way in hell the Super Bowl was going to play that ad, because it's on their published list of, you know, guns being something they will never allow.
I'm of the same mind. Honestly speaking, I think this is the brightest move they could have made, is having the Super Bowl give an ad spot last year to Mayors Against Illegal Guns, and then granted a very, very limited one. I don't think anybody really saw that ad except in like the preaching to the choir places like Massachusetts. But in New York. But I mean, come on. When they ban the commercial, now everybody is playing.
Well, and I think that's what they intended, because they had to know it would get banned. They had to know. There's no way in hell they'd ever play that. And so
it's reaching a wider audience.
Exactly.
For the cost of making the commercial.
Exactly. People are talking about it. It's viral. It's like, yeah, it's a thing now. So I think they well played, Daniel Defense.
I'm sure Lucky Gunner is really jealous that they didn't think of it first.
I know.
You know how Lucky Gunner is with their advertising, yep, with the blogs and online and everything, oh, yeah, and the SEOs. Yeah, yep. I'm sure they're kicking themselves. Damn it, why didn't we think of that? We could have gotten those gun bunnies and made a commercial.
Yep.
And gotten rejected.
God damn it, my furnace intake just kicked on and I'm smelling skunk. God damn it.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
You're sure that's not your daughter?
Well, she's like two floors above me.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no.
Because sometimes they smell that bad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. Just before I left for work, and I left for work late because she was up screaming all night. And so I'm just like, oh, my God. Like, I went to bed a little bit later because I didn't really – I've been getting much better sleep because she's been doing all right. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to stay up a little bit. I'm going to dink around with my blog. I'm going to catch up on my YouTube subscriptions and all of that stuff. And then I went to bed, and I'm like, perfect. I'll get a couple hours sleep. I'll wake up to feed her, and then I'll get a good night's sleep, and I'll be ready for work. And she got up to eat and was just not interested in going back to bed. And I went, Jesus Christ, I've got 2 hours of sleep under my belt, and I have – and this is going to last all night. So I ended up sleeping in and going into work late. But just before I left, I picked her up. She was being awful cute and sweet first thing in the morning. I picked her up and hugged her and was squishing her. And then I went, yeah, you smell like you've got a wet diaper. I'll change you. Changed her pants. And nope, it was more than a wet diaper. Oh, God. She's more than wet. Oh, and an amusing story. I think Brita will be amused by this. This was told over Thanksgiving. My grandmother was telling the story of just how inept my late grandfather was at rearing children, and it seems like all of the occasions where she went out to do something and left him in charge always resulted in disaster. One of the stories was my aunt when she was a little baby, you know. She got to fussing, and my grandfather said to my mother, who's the oldest, said, "Here, go change her." And she opened her up, and she said, "She's more than wet." And he goes, "Wrap her back up. Your mother will be home soon."
Oh my gosh!
And that's exactly what they did.
I guarantee you, that's not the first time that happened.
Nope.
Well, my mom will not call in and tell the story, but
she
I will
should.
Tell the story.
Call in, Brita.
When I was a baby, my father never changed diapers, never. And the one time he was left alone with me where he might potentially have to, you know, change a diaper, he brought me over to my aunt's house. And he's like, you know, because she lived basically around the block from us. And he brought me to Aunt May, and he was like, you know, visiting with Aunt May with the baby. Yay, you know, here's the baby. And, of course, you know, I had a dirty diaper, and Aunt May was, oh, I'll change the baby, you know, because babies did at that point to her were kind of a novel thing and kind of cute and fun. So my father never changed the diaper.
My father is pretty infamous of he would change diapers, but only wet ones.
Oh, man.
And, oh, God. And to this day, I always hope whenever my dad's down to visit that little weirdo fills that diaper up nice and good, because he is so grossed out even today.
Can you, like, maybe time it for him?
Unfortunately, no. Her timing sucks.
Not yet. Okay. Maybe a little later you can time it.
When
it gets a little more solid and you can feed her broccoli and beets.
Oh, beets.
Here, little Lawirda. Here's some crab cakes.
Oh, no. You're evil.
Well, you know, it has been requested. I know that the West and the South has been, this is, you know, coming up tomorrow, the West and the South, they are getting the big Winter Storm. And actually, I learned today that they're now naming winter storms.
Oh, such bullshit.
That's crazy.
I know. They're naming winter storms like they're naming, like, hurricanes and tornadoes or
that's like
whatever.
Storm envy. You know what it is? It's because they hadn't had as many hurricanes. And so the global warming people are all like, oh, we have to name things so they sound worse than they really are.
Right. Well, they have a weather channel right now on cable, right? They have, like, weather.com cable. Uh-huh. So they have to do something. I think it's Cleon, C-L-E-O-N, Cleon, Winter Storm Cleon, is this winter storm that's hitting the west and the south.
Yeah, it's down to 45 here.
Oh, my God.
My wind 45. Chill is 37. I have not turned the heat on yet, but I might actually have to turn it on tonight. We'll see.
Okay. Anyway.
What type of heat do you have, Alan?
Gas.
Oh, my God.
Me too. That's me pun too. Intended. Well, I mean, I've also got natural gas, but I've also got the kind that married people have.
In the fart sack.
Keep you warm at night.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Anyway, it has been requested that you tell the Snowbrush story. God. Before the end of the show, we've got 9 minutes left. Please tell the Snowbrush story for posterity.
It's not that interesting.
It's hilarious.
It's a pretty for those of us in snowy areas, it is goddamn hilarious.
Yes, please add as many details as you like. It's funny.
All right. Well, for those of you that have been hiding under a rock, I've spent most of my life in the South, and I've never, you know, I visited the snow before, you know, obviously to go, you know, skiing and stuff, but I've never, you know, lived in it. And several years back, I took a job, contracting job with Motorola, and wound up in Philadelphia for a wireless radio project up there. And I had, you know, rental cars and all that kind of stuff. And it got to be winter time, and I go pick up the rental car and throw my suitcase in the back. And there's this, like, brush thing, you know, and, you know, the rental car attendant was walking by, and I kind of waved him over. I said, one of your cleaning people left this sweeper brush thing in the trunk. You probably want it back. And he looked at me funny, and he walked over and he looked at it, and he turned and looked at me, and he goes, "That's a snow brush." I was like, "What?
What's a snow brush?"
I was like, "What's a snow brush?" And so he was like, "Well, when it snows, you brush the snow off with it." I was like, "Oh."
Oh my gosh.
Because I had never had such a thing.
It's insane to me. Insane. We never take the snow brush out of our car. Even July.
Yeah, no, it's always sitting in the back of the car in the bed of my pickup truck when even the middle of July, or tucked behind one of the seats or something like that.
It's actually kind of bad luck. Don't take it out of the car because you're tempting fate at that point.
Never in my life. And boy, did I use them in Philadelphia.
I bet you did. Yep.
They work good, don't they?
Yeah. Well, you know. Well, and I also learned why the car washes are all open in the winter in places like that. Because, man, cars get filthy.
Yes.
I still don't believe in that. That's like clothes getting wrinkled. It's mm-hmm. not really happened. Cars don't get dirty.
Well, you know, around here, I know that there are some places where, like, people rinse off their cars all the time, like, with all the salt and everything. But, like, around here, if you're in the parking lot and you see a car that's, like, clean and sparkly and, like, rinsed off, no salt on it, you, like, kind of look at that car like, what the fuck is with them? You know, what's their problem?
You gun it as you drive by and make sure you flick some salt.
I park my car next to the project warehouse we were working on. It was kind of this kind of skeezy street down near the river that and across the street was this big recycling plant, and there was always these giant trucks rumbling down the street hauling, you know, crap to the recycling plant. And Man, I learned not to park my car on the street when it was snowy because those trucks come by and they just throw up all kinds of crap and it just covers the side of your car in a thick crust of frozen crap.
You also got to worry about the plows. If you're lucky, they'll just like completely cover you with awful stuff and make it so that you have to dig through frozen snow.
It's
not
just snow. it's all, you know, it's like, what is it, snert?
What?
Snert. Snow and dirt.
Yeah. When it turns brown and freezes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The brown slush.
So anyway, that's the snow brush story. I hope you're all happy.
Won't be long before we have that. Little Weirder is going to learn how to shovel.
Oh.
You know, when I was a baby, when I was a little girl, I had my own little baby shovel. Do they sell those? Put your kids to work shovels?
I fully intend on the first snow day to take a picture of my baby with a little teeny tiny shovel that I've got. Mine's actually designed. I've got a balcony. And I keep it up there for shoveling off the balcony so it doesn't get all frozen and iced up, and all of that. But it's baby size. But no, they make kids shovels.
Get to work, kid.
Baby's first shovel.
my next door neighbors have a young girl, and she has her own kid shovel. And yeah, no, that's just like having a kid help you cook. You pretty much just give them a bowl of flour to beat up, and then you throw it away. They're not very helpful.
No.
No.
Of course not.
But snow, hey. When you're a kid,
it's snow. Are you going to get snow, Alan?
No.
Not ever.
Not here.
Oh, wait. C90 says they need to learn to walk first. No, if they crawl, they can push it better.
No, it's not. In fact, the other snow story I have from Houston is several years ago. I was trying to move into another apartment in February, and they were going to clean the carpet the day before I moved in. And I got a call from the manager that day and said, "Well, your carpet's not going to get cleaned today." And I was like, "Why not?" Well, because of the snow, the carpet cleaner's not coming in. I was like, "What snow? It's not snowing." And they were like, "Yeah, but there was a forecast that said it might snow." So not because it snowed a lot, not because it snowed a little, not because it was snowing and it didn't stick, but because the forecast said it might snow.
Rumor of snow
was enough to keep them from...
Well, that's
venturing out.
That's my wife always used to, back when we were just dating and we were both in college, she went to school down in North Carolina, and she talked about how awesome it was when it snowed there because she knows how to drive in snow, so she became ruler of the wastelands. Because everybody else is like going off the road or just staying home and all the business is closed. She's like, fuck it, I'm going to the grocery store. I'm running some errands.
Damn right. It's
awesome. I got this place to myself.
Yeah.
Well,
still, to be fair, why would you clean the carpets before you move in? Because the movers are going to be walking with their heavy boots all over the place. And
well, because
carpets are going to look like boiled ass.
No, they don't. It's not that bad, and they clean them before you move in, so that you know.
Other people's funk.
Yeah, it's gross. Otherwise.
Well, let it be gross, and then let them track all they want all through it. Then have them clean it.
No, you gotta clean. You gotta have your furniture. You gotta have the room empty to clean it. You can't clean carpet with stuff in there.
No, if you put the sofa over, it doesn't need to be cleaned.
Yet another reason I hate carpet. Carpet's the most disgusting thing.
Yeah, carpet's pretty gross.
You're triggering Alan's OCD.
Up in New England, we have this shit called hardwood. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I know. See? Floors. Why would anybody want carpet collects crap?
And fucking worse is we pulled up a shitload of carpet over beautiful hardwood floors. Some dipshit decided to cover them up.
Brita just got through pulling up carpet in her house.
Yep.
That sounds hot.
And it was hardwood floors underneath it.
Gorgeous. Yeah.
Crazy. I don't understand it.
Yeah, no, when we first moved into our house, there was an old ratty wall to wall carpet over the floors, and it was like, and through one hole you could see kind of a little bit of a dusky floor, and it's like, well, these floors are probably going to look a little bit rough. We're probably going to have them refinished, and you know, when we pull it up, and we finally had the carpet pulled up, and it looked brand spanking new. It was beautiful, and it's like, oh my God, why would you do that?
Because people are stupid.
Yeah,
I think that was the style, though. I think hardwood was just. That was the floor, and you were expected to put carpet over it because that was what you did.
Yeah, these are the same people that pinned wood paneling up over our horsehair plaster walls.
Yeah, God,
they didn't have OSB or anything like that back then to make floors out of, so they had to use wood planks. So,
yeah, that's oriented. I'm actually pulling up more carpeting this weekend.
Yay.
In the master bedroom. Yay!
Fun. Well,
yeah. When were the carpets put down? Do you know?
1983.
Oh yeah, you're gonna have some fucking hideous ass underlayment to deal with.
Yeah.
Oh, that underlayment is. I remember we were at the Home Depot picking up supplies for cleaning up all the stuff that the previous owners of this house fucked up, and we saw someone buying underlayment. We just went, "Why the fuck are you doing that?
What is it?"
Underlayment, the pad that goes underneath the wall-to-wall carpet.
Yeah.
Oh.
It completely degrades and turns to shit after a couple of years, and
yep.
Just it's awful. I just, why would you subject yourself to that?
Because people are stupid.
Yep.
Anyway, we're out of time.
Anyway, yes, we are. Thanks, everybody.
Yep.
That was fun.
We'll be back next week.
Yes, we will.
And since the holidays are on Wednesday and we really don't have I guess we'll go ahead and do a show, even if it's just me.
What?
Well, this month.
Well, we'll figure it out.
Christmas is on Wednesday and.
Yeah, I won't be around. We have a big shebango at the old homestead on Christmas Eve. So.
Christmas is on Wednesday, right?
Right.
Oh, I could do the show on Thursday.
Okay.
Okay.
And of course, the New Year's show.
Oh yeah, it's after the day. Yeah, I'll be around, but I'll be around for the New Year's show.
Cool.
Okay. Cool.
It's my birthday.
All right.
Oh, awesome! Oh,
it'll be a weird birthday show.
I'll take it. That'll be a good birthday celebration. I usually don't do shit for my birthday.
Cool. Well, there's the plan.
Because I like doing shit.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll be back next week.
Woohoo!
Oh, by the way, we don't do this very much, but and sometimes people don't know, and I should start doing this at the beginning, but your hosts for the Squirrel Report.
Oh, no.
Are Weird Beard.
Hello!
Brita.
Yes.
And me, Alan. Just in case, you know, somebody didn't know.
For the NSA, for future reference.
That's right. Anyway, y'all have a good weekend. See you next week.
None of which is our real names. Brita's a made-up name. Nobody's named Brita.
Bye, y'all.
Good night.
Night.